of kavod. And we define kavod the opposite of the way as the non-Jewish world sees kavod. The non-Jewish way sees the world kavod as I only have self-worth if other people recognize it in me, and it doesn't make a difference if I have value or I don't have value within myself, but if other people are saying to me that I'm worthy, then that's what makes me worthy. And then I'm always dependent on other people. Because if they support me, then I'm worthy. If they don't support me, I'm not worthy. It doesn't make any difference whether I have worth or don't have worth. It all matters what other people are saying about me. And the Torah's way of viewing it is that when you recognize the value which is inherent within other people, you recognize this person's asmada and this person's kindness and this person's chesed and this person's self-control, and you recognize those inherent values, as you notice them, then it brings it out for you to be able to acquire it, and it strengthens it by you. And that's the Jewish view of honor. And we said in Afkamin it was that according to the non-Jewish view, they'll only get honor if they hear about it. If they hear that you honor them, then they got honor. If they didn't hear that you honor them, they didn't get honor. The Jewish way, they don't even need to know. You could respect, actually you could even give honor to someone who's no longer alive. Right, you could read a book about Talmud Chacham who's already passed away, and as you recognize the qualities that you see that Talmud Chacham and you're amazed by them, then you will begin to acquire those positive qualities because you've given honor to that. And they're not even alive, so what honor are they getting anymore? No, they're still getting honor, meaning the honor is still there for you to receive, for you to grow and gain. That's the Jewish way of seeing honor. And that's why it was so severe, all the quotes that we learned on the last page, it was so severe when a person is not honoring a Talmud Chacham, because it's not about the Talmud Chacham. It's not for him. He needs all the honor. He's like got a bloated chest. What is it? It's not about him. That's a non-Jewish concept of honor. But the Jewish concept of honor is that when you recognize Talmud Chacham, you're recognizing his love and appreciation for Hashem, and his bringing Hashem's word down into the world. So by you acknowledging that, then you're connecting to Hashem's knowledge of the world. Your goal as a Jew is to receive Hashem's word in this world and hear what Hashem is teaching you and imbue yourself with godliness. As you look to your Talmud Chacham and see that he's done that, then you become more like that as well. So you see a Talmud Chacham who's living the word of Hashem. If you respect him, you become more living the word of Hashem. If Chas Hashem, one disgraces a Talmud Chacham, then they're pushing themselves away from living the word of Hashem in the world. That's why it's so severe. That's why we said it's like they're cutting themselves off, because they really are not fulfilling their potential. They're going against their purpose by not respecting a Talmud Chacham. It's not for the sake of the Chacham, it's for their own sake. So, Zuhi Ha'avodah. Go back one line, I go back two lines. Toratenu HaKadosha Einu Machayevet Atanu Hakara Mufshetet Filosofit. We're not talking here that you have to have some philosophical abstract honor. Ela zeu gilui vezeu hakara b'lev v'maaseh. Rather, the Torah's view of honor is that you recognize something concrete, you acknowledge it, you recognize it, and it comes expressed in action. V'koach ma anachnu yocholim lechabed, v'koach haneshama shehihi mitziot shel kavod shezui po'alata ikarit lechabed v'legalot romamut ha'bore. And that's what our soul's purpose is in this world. Everyone in this world is always recognizing things around them. You get to choose what to recognize. If you're in tune with your neshama, then you'll choose to recognize things that have inherent value. You'll recognize the honor in other people. You'll bring that out in them and in yourself. You'll recognize the honor of Hashem in this world. And now we can start to begin to understand what does it mean that everything Hashem created, he created for his honor. It doesn't mean that Hashem needs you to pay respect to him for him to feel worthy. That would be the non-Jewish view of understanding honor. But the Torah view of honor is, everything Hashem made, he made for honor, means that he wants to give over to you of himself. He made himself relatable in this world. That you're able to see Hashem's hand through history, through Ashkocha Pratis, and that when you recognize all the good that Hashem is doing, and you acknowledge it, then you become more godly. So in the simple example, when it says that Avram Avinu visited, when it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu visited Avram Avinu, so he did Bikur Cholim. So as you honor Hashem, and you're able to honor Hashem by recognizing the good that he did, that he cared for people and he cares for individuals and he came down to help them, and everything Hashem did, he did for his honor, meaning to show you his traits, to show you his kindliness, so you're able to recognize that, acknowledge that, be like that. And now we understand, what does it mean everything Hashem made, he made for his honor? He made everything that he revealed in this world for us to be able to emulate, for us to be able to for us to be able to follow in his path. So from a non-Jewish perspective, it doesn't make sense. Everything Hashem made, he made for his own honor. That doesn't make sense. But from a Jewish perspective, it makes a lot of sense. Everything that Hashem made in this world, he made in a way that's relatable so that we can connect to him and we can become more godly by recognizing those values and traits that he's teaching us and then become more like it. And that's our goal. Our goal is Ligadel Laromem Lachabed. And that's what it says in Pirkei Avos, Ezo Mechubad HaMechabed Desabrios. Right, so now we understand. Who is someone who's really Mechubad? How do you get to be Mechubad? What does the word Mechubad actually mean? So it doesn't mean that you wear some, you know, medals and you have some fancy hat and you sit in some fancy place and they call you some title. It doesn't mean all of that. Because that doesn't mean you have inherent worth. Maybe you just did that because you inherited it or because you bought it. I don't know. I don't know how you got that. But it doesn't mean it's inherent worth. That's not honorable. What's real honorable? That you are full of value. That you're full of inherent content. You're full of the ability to do good in this world because you have within you good traits. You're a kindly person. You're a wisdom-seeking person. You're full of values. So how do you get that? By noting everyone else and saying, wow, that person is so strong in value A and value B. They're persistent and they're kind and they're, you see all those values. As you note all the values on the people, then you acquire them as well. You acquire it. So listen carefully. Eizahu mechubad. What is the way for a person to be full of value? Hamechabed es abrios. By recognizing those values in other people. You hear the pshat? That's what Rabbeinu Yonah says the pshat is in that Mishnah. If you look at Rabbeinu Yonah, yeah.
What is the difference Halemi Bikol Adam then?
To?
Halemi Bikol Adam. Because isn't that sort of the same thing? When you love other people, what they do, I guess, I assume positive traits.
What does it say, Halemi Bikol Adam?
Is it a Chacham?
So what's the difference between a Chacham and someone who's Mechubad? So Ezu Chacham, right, it's coming to go away from all those four sections in the Mishnah. We're all coming to show you there's a non-Jewish way of viewing it, and we're not following a non-Jewish way, we're doing a following Jewish way. So the non-Jewish way of following Chacham is that you have a higher IQ. Ezu Chacham, someone who has a third degree. Ezu Chacham, someone who's able to solve brilliant problems. That's someone who's a Chacham. And it's coming to say, no, that's not the Jewish way of viewing a Chacham. Rather, a Jewish way of viewing a Chacham is someone who's constantly looking to learn. It could be that you're very simple in your understanding. You don't have any degrees or don't have a high IQ at all. But you're seeking to learn. And the definition of a Chacham from a Torah perspective is someone who has quest for knowledge. So, Ezu Chacham, Halomed Mikol Adam. That doesn't necessarily mean he's absorbed values from all those people. But it means that we define a Chacham as someone who's seeking to learn, seeking knowledge. As opposed to this, which is not seeking wisdom from other people necessarily, but seeking virtues, values. And then you become a mechubad person by the more values and virtues that you've acquired, which you get by noting them in other people. Yeah? So look at Rabbeinu Yonah on Ezer Mechubad to see that perush inside. So, kushiroim sha'adam mechabed es abrios. When you see someone who honors other people, makir, he notes, umagale, and he brings out ma'alato shel kol echad ve'echad, the value in every other person. You see that his soul is alive. His soul then acquires all of those values. He becomes a value-driven, orientated person. For who atzmo mechubad? You know, the word mechubad, as opposed to kalut rosh, so kalut rosh is light. Right? It means someone who's like jesting and joking around, making light of things. And mechubad is the same word as kaved, heavy. Right? So, someone who's light, it means he doesn't have any inherent value. He doesn't have any virtue. Every time he hears an amazing, life-changing idea, it floats away from him because it's light by him, right? It doesn't stay by him. It's light because he's mezalzel, he jokes about it. Oh, that idea, make a joke out of it, make fun of it. I once heard someone who had that trait, who did something naughty, and then forget it. And then that floats away. He's not able to absorb and acquire that value. That's kalut rosh. Ezo mechubad is Russian kaved. Why is it kaved? Because it stays by him. He notes the values in the other people and he acquires and acquires all those virtues and values from those other people. Ro'im shnishmato chaya v'hamezalzel u'maktin u'machapes mumim. And when you have those types of people who are always making fun and joking and minimizing and looking for flaws, einu noten l'nishmato lif'ol b'kirbo. They don't allow their soul to be fully expansive. I spoke about this once before, but I think it's probably 2 years ago, so I'll say it again now. there are two basic directions that a person functions in this world. One is expansive and one is constrictive. And when you have a mindset which is one way or the other, then it overtakes you in every realm. So, an expansive mindset is one where everyone has room. I have room for everyone. There's nothing which I have to put down to make me have value. But rather, I can be full of value and other people can be full of value as well. And that doesn't contradict. Now, the way expansiveness works is that as I build other people, I build myself as well. And more good leads to more good. I remember once when I was in school, I did A-level economics. And we learned, I don't remember anything from that, but one thing I remember, maybe two things, but is there was an economist called John Milton Keynes. And he said that if the economy is low, right, so you pay people to dig pits, and then you pay other people to fill in the pits. Why does that work? Because when the economy is low, then what happens? There's a restrictive mindset. No one wants to spend their money because they're scared of what's going to happen. So no one's spending. And once no one's spending, no one's earning. And then the whole currency goes into a recession. But if people start working and they have money and they feel expansive, then they go buy clothes and they go and buy food and then they have money and they have money. And then that builds and builds and builds and the expansiveness spreads and then the whole economy. And therefore he coined the phrase that you can talk your way out of a recession. That even if the currency is going down, but if you just say everything's fine, people, you can go and spend, then the very fact that you tell the people they can go and spend, that's what gets out of the... So there's a constrictive mindset, which is where I don't even know I have enough for myself. And maybe he's going to take it away from me. So I'll hold on to my things, and I'll make sure he doesn't have things either, because otherwise, if he has things, he might take them from me. And that type of a person, because he feels limited, then his only way of feeling worth is by limiting other people even more. So someone offends him and he offends them back more. You said that about my mother, I'll say that about your mother. And everyone's limiting and limiting and limiting and making everything smaller and smaller. So if you come to the world with a constrictive mindset, then the way that you'll relate financially, the way that you'll relate to your children with love and expression and praise and goodness, a constrictive mindset person would say, I don't want to praise my children because if I praise them, then they'll think they're worthy of doing good things and then they'll start demanding more. So that's the kind of mindset they would have. I have to hold back on my praise because then they'll demand more and then they'll take it for granted and then they won't want to do things around the house. I have to make sure not to say to her. That's the mindset. And it spreads over in every area. Why should I help someone? What do they do for me? That mindset goes, the way they learn also is affected. Because when they learn, they're not able to think broadly. That's what it says. That's what it says. What more do you want? That's what it says. No, but maybe you could think, you know, more broadly about what it's saying. What does it mean? What's the implication? What do you mean? What it says is what it says. What are you trying to be expansive over here? Like, this is what it says. That's what it is. Don't get philosophical here. And that restrictive mindset limits them. Now, obviously, when they try and connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's no hope for them. Because the constrictive mindset, the first thing to go is the neshama. Right? Because the neshama is something which the whole essence of the neshama is expansive. It's thinking spiritually. It's thinking there's more in this world than what you see. It's recognizing Yad Hashem in this world. The neshama is in its essence expansive. It's go beyond the limitations. That's what the neshama is. So, a person who is constrictive, it will express itself physically in the financial and in his ability to praise and in his way of thinking. But then, broadly, it will affect him in his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because he won't be able to think of a God in this world and more things beyond what he sees, right? Someone who's got an expansive mindset, everyone wins. His being expansive, that the restrictive person looks at the expansive person and says to him, why are you giving so much charity? Don't you know they're just out to get you and they're probably using their money for their own things? They're not, you know, you think they're doing good with it? They're using it for bad things. And the expansive person says, so what? Let them use it. They'll do good with it and then they'll see my generosity and that maybe that'll help them do tshuva. They'll see good and they'll do more good. And they'll do, maybe here and there, the restrictive people are correct here or there for a minute. And therefore Chazal do say, if there's someone that you heard about, that he's a trickster, that he's a Ramai, then you should not believe the Lashon Hara spoken about him, but you should be careful not to invest in him as well. Don't believe it. Don't say, certainly I know this person is a Ramai. But at the same time, you can be careful. You know, you don't have to invest in something if it may be a trick. You're allowed to take precautions. But someone with an expansive mindset, he will freely give praise to his children. And he thinks, oh, that's terrible. What's terrible? No, they won't want more praise. They'll feel satisfied in their love. In fact, it's the exact opposite of what you think. The person who limits praise creates children who are thirsty for more praise because they don't feel loved. And they lead their whole life trying to get more praise, trying to get more praise, trying to get more praise. So instead of restrictive being answering a need of they won't want more because they won't expect more, it creates more of a need. The person who's lavish in his praise and always, not empty praise. They're not like, you're wonderful, you're amazing, you're fantastic, you're amazing, you're a star, you're the queen, you're the king. That doesn't really help so much. But you say specific things. You did that very well. That shows that you have the trait of, and you say which specific good thing it is. You know, you do praise in a valuable way. So the more praise you give, then the more satisfied and healthy the children are, the less they need praise. Because they feel satisfied, they feel whole, they feel fulfilled. The expansive person, only good comes out of his expansiveness. He's able to think more broadly. When it comes to learn, he's able to think more broadly. He's able to think, I can do this, let's say the limit, and I can also that say the limit, I can also that say the limit. And in his learning, he's able to think, maybe it means this, he's able to think more creative and it's pshatim. The neshama is expansive. Obviously, right? Because the neshama is a part of a Kadosh Baruch Hu which is infinite. So it's expansive, meaning it doesn't have limitations by definition. Its only limitation is that it's connected to our body physically. But as we tap into it, we become more infinite. So you in your life will notice you're probably not totally constrictive and totally expansive. You're somewhere in the middle. And you should make an agenda of noting where you are and moving over to a more expansive mindset. The more expansive mindset you will have, the more you will gain on every level, on a financial level, on an emotional level, and certainly on a spiritual level. So how does that fit into this concept of mechubad? Nishmato shel adam mechabedet oto. Someone who is mezalzel, he's always limiting things. The definition of someone who's a critic is someone who's saying, no, it's not what you think it is. It's not so great. It's not so big. It's not so amazing. It's limited, 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 limited. You think he's so great? I heard when he was a kid, he did something naughty. Deflate everything. The whole mindset of someone who is a critic is someone who's taking away the expansiveness and being mezalzel. You think it's amazing? It's not. It's worthless. It's small. It's nothing. And that takes away the inspiration, the ability to connect to something higher. Imagine that there was I'll tell you a terrible story. Because I just want to disturb us. Sorry. This is a terrible story. I don't actually cry, but I feel like I want to cry every time I tell this story. I heard this from Rav Hanina Kushelevsky, who's the nephew of Rav Tzvi Kushelevsky. He told me that he's a chassan teacher. And he helps boys with shidduchim. In Yerushalayim, he's in yeshiva in Yerushalayim, and he helps with the shidduchim. Like, he's in charge of that whole area in the yeshiva that he works in. So he says that there was a boy who was going out for a long time with many different girls. It wasn't working out. Eventually, he found a girl, and it was perfect. Everything's going well, and he came to Rav Tzvi Kushelevsky to Rav Hanina Kushelevsky for chosan lessons, and everything was great. And then one day, this boy comes, and he says, it's off. He says, what happened? So the boy says, her nose! He says, what happened to her nose? So he said, I can't believe it, it's so hard for me to say. He said, he went back to a different shadchanit, not the one who had set him up, but who had tried to set him up a lot, and said, oh, Baruch Hashem now, because she'd phoned him and said, I have a suggestion for you, and he says, no, Baruch Hashem, I'm getting engaged. And she said, with who? She was probably upset that it wasn't her who made the suggestion. He said, with who? So he said, the name of this girl. And he said, her? Didn't her nose bother you? That's what that shadchanit said. And the boy said, I never noticed anything about the nose. But the moment she said that, all I can see is the nose. Every time I sit with her, I just notice this nose. I don't know what was with the nose, right? But there was something with the nose. And I can't get past it. And I know it's ridiculous. I know it's ridiculous. And I know how foolish it is. But I don't know, I just can't get past it. Every time I look at her, so what Rav Hanina did was, he went back to when he first met her, and he spoke a lot about that, a lot about that, a lot about that, and like brought him back to the place of why he chose her and why he connected to her initially, and strengthened that point tremendously, and then said, with all that in mind, he said, does the nose bother you? And he says, it does bother me, but I see how there's value even so. And then they did like a few trials where it bothered him less and bothered him. Every time he met her, he just had all that in mind as he met her, and slowly but surely he got over it. Baruch Hashem. What happened in that story? There was something great. A man met his shidduch. he looked at her based on her values, based on their common ideals, their common vision they had to live a Torah life together. Someone else came in, a late Sanus, and pinpointed something very, very small negative, which was so insignificant that he hadn't noticed it to begin with. Late Sanus is exactly like popping a balloon. As you blow into the balloon, a Nishmas Chaim grows and grows and grows and grows and grows, and then someone comes along with something negative, beep, and the whole thing pops, and all the air goes out. And all the expansiveness, you cannot notice anymore, it's all vanished. Because one word of Late Sanus can overtake 1,000 words of positivity and building. The more you're an expansive mindset, then as you get more entrenched in it, you're able to deflect Late Sanus. Because you're so in the mindset of positivity and goodness and expansiveness and that even Late Sanus, you're able to say, that's not part of my world. I know there are people like that, you're able to put them almost in a box. You can say, I know that someone who's late would say something like that. That's not the world I live in. And as you put it in a box and you label it, that's late Sanus. You're able to move fast. I don't know if I've told this story before, but I love this story. I think I have. This is worth telling again. I was in a shiur of Daniel Cohen. He's a rabbi of Bat Ein. And he was talking about his upbringing and his childhood. And he said that he lived in a very challenging community. And he meant because it wasn't religious and he was the only religious family. But there was someone else there who was a late and said to him, oh, you were brought up in, and said the name of a very religious community as a joke against that group of people. And Rav Daniel Cohen looked at him and said to him, that was late Sanus. Not with anger, not with accusation, just with a stating a fact. That was late Sanus. The person said, yes. And that was how we moved on. It was unbelievable what just happened there. I was blown away. I was so amazed by that it was hard for me to listen to the rest of the shiur. Because what just happened there? That person who said late Sanus, he wanted to destroy the atmosphere and take away the amazement of how this Rav Daniel Cohen was able to like get past the change upbringing. And he wanted to throw in some lashon hara and negativity towards the group. Now, what do? If you laugh, then you've ruined it because then you've given in and accepted his lashon hara. That's the worst thing to do. If you keep quiet, then it kind of remains hanging in the air. He made a good joke, he made fun of people, let's try and pretend it didn't happen, and we'll deny that it ever happened, but everyone knows in the back of your mind that a joke was just made against those people, and lashon hara was spoken, and we're pretending it's like it didn't happen, let's move on. That's what happens. A stinging common mind, let's pretend and pretend to move on. And that was a bit awkward moment there, but then it still remains lashon hara. But if you label it, and you say, that was late Sanus, and he said, yes, it was, then it's okay. You spoke late Sanus, it's in a box, it's over there, and we're carrying on with our shiur and everything. It was amazing! So when you have expansive mindset, and you're able to say, small things remain small, over there, not to do with me. They are small, they're insignificant, so let them remain insignificant. They don't have to affect you. Pileploy! So the neshama and kavod are all things of expansiveness. And late Sanus is the opposite of kavod. Kavod is where you recognize the greatness of the matter, you recognize the significance of the matter. That's why it's weighty. Kavod. Kaved. It's amazing. I want this value. I want this virtue. I'm recognizing it, noting it. I'm growing towards it. Late Sanus is pricking it with a pin in the balloon, making it all insignificant, worthwhile by pointing out some flaw, some negativity, takes away all of its value. How do you stop it? By labeling it. And you say, in the same way as you get value and virtue from labeling the good, right? That's you note what it was, the good thing, and you appreciate it, and that builds it. So late Sanus, you put in his box by saying, that was late Sanus, and then it remains small and insignificant. Pile ply. We're learning here lessons for life. These ideas can save marriages, like in the story of Rabbi Hanina Koshalevsky. They can save relationships, and they can enable you to have a God-orientated mindset throughout your life. Throughout your life, you will always meet people who, whenever you say something, Yirat Shamayim orientated, there'll always be a late somewhere who will say, oh, it was just by chance, or they'll, what about that case where it didn't work out? And you know, they'll always like find some anti-Ashkocha protest story to tell you. They'll always find that prick where they're gonna try and then like uproot everything. And when you say, I'm still amazed by the greatness, and what you said is late Sanus, okay, then you can remain small. If you wish to remain small, you can remain small. There was a quote. Dafka, someone who wasn't such a great person, but I won't say his name. I mean, he was someone who was not Jewish, and he was also an anti-Semite, but this particular quote is a very good quote. He said, let the ones who say it can't be done not get in the way of the ones who are doing it. I love that quote. There are people who are expansive. There are people who are building. There are people who are creating, investing. And there are people who say, oh, it's impossible. Can't do it. Don't even begin. Don't start. No hope. So you want to say that? That's fine. But just don't get in the way of the ones who are actually building and creating it. That's exactly the same concept, no? Like, you're expansive. There are people who are saying calm down. So don't get in the way. So you stay over there. You say calm down. You remain in your little box and don't get in the way. So kavod and leitzanus, they're all opposites. Leitzanus doesn't allow your neshama to shine within you. It doesn't allow you to build those virtues. The neshama of a person is zoche l'romamut v'hitalut atzmit. It enables you to be uplifted and raised. Mitgale v'kirbo or Eloki. Your neshama is expansive and discovers Hashem. It notices the virtue of Hashem in this world. And that enables you to connect to Hashem. Mitareret bo midot tovot amaviot lema'asim tovim. And as you notice all the good in other people, and if you're even more deeper thinking, then you even notice the good in what Hashem is giving you, that creates them within you good character traits. And that leads you to do more good in this world because you're emulating Hashem. And then you become aware of that depth. Okay, we'll stop there. We'll probably do one more session. Tomorrow is going to be Tuesdays is going to be the Kavua day of Rabbi Yust. So there is Musa Seder in this room at the regular time. On Tuesday, it's going to be given by the Mashgiach, Rabbi Sharon Yust, in this room. In this room, same time, same place, Rabbi Yust on Tuesdays. So we'll continue Be'ez Hashem on Wednesday from this chapter. Shakar.